welcome to another edition of What's On Your Mind, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. And I'll take a cue from the governor, and I'll say it's time for a little gratitude on our part for you to put us in that category of the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains. Thanks a ton. Appreciate that very much. Proof of that fact is I was asked on Friday to keynote the Lincoln Day Dinner on September 11th in Rapid City, South Dakota. Can hardly wait. So mark that on your calendar if you're within a close enough distance of Rapid City you'd like to join us. That'll be fun. September the 11th. Yes, exactly right. Good day to talk about Lincoln and freedom and battles and everything else, right? All right, we're going to start today with Governor Doug Burgum. Welcome your calls, your questions, your comments for him. We'll have open phone time at the bottom of the hour, and then the bottom of next hour, we'll talk to North Dakota University System Chancellor Mark Hagerot on the program today. We call What's On Your Mind. Governor, thanks for the time. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. Great to be with you always on a beautiful North Dakota Monday morning.
No kidding. Is it beautiful or what? I hear Medora is, like, unbelievable. Who was I talking to? Oh, Kevin Cramer, Senator Cramer, actually. Over the weekend called and had his entire staff out there for a retreat, many of whom had never even been to North Dakota before, a good chunk of the staff. So they were absolutely enthralled. So get out to Medora if you haven't been there. Have you been to Medora yet this year, Governor?
I have. I was there. I've been there twice already this summer, and it's just as Senator Cramer said, it's fantastic. And the Medora musical's running, and businesses are open, and beautiful spot. It happens to be right now one of the counties in the state that's had the fewest number of cases in the state. So they're doing a great job out there on the staff out there wearing masks and doing testing and keeping everybody safe, keeping you know, lives and livelihoods. They're doing it in Medora. It's a great example.
Physical distancing is impossible not to do in Teddy Roosevelt National Park, right? You got so much space, you just you can't beat it. It's great. I want to look
but
back
Scott,
a little bit.
I was going to just start out. You started with gratitude for the listeners, but I wanted to just start out on a Monday morning and just have to say, you know, when you think about this crisis, you think about the United States, you think about things like World War One, World War Two, things that started in other parts of the world but affected us greatly. The United States has always come out of it stronger than before. And when you spend some time reading about all the innovation that's going on, whether it's on business models or whether it's on medical research or whether it's on new innovations around education, whether it's about, you know, ways we can do government more effective and more efficiently, you know, this is forcing, you know, America to really look at how we have to do things differently. But in America, we don't just do things differently. We can think about doing things better. And so I heard a phrase last week. One of our speakers at the Innovation Conference didn't talk about the new normal. He talked about the better normal. And I think that's a great aspiration for North Dakota. I think it's totally possible because our system of free markets and freedom and technology and innovation is that, you know, unlike other countries that may just be stuck in lockdown for the next couple of years, the U.S. right now is innovating its way through this, and I'm more confident than ever that we're going to come out of this stronger and better than we ever have before as a country.
Yeah, you think of the same way I am, because I have to, honestly, because of just the polarization and the politics that has really engulfed everything related to COVID. Chose to focus as much as possible on the future. What's it going to look like? How are our businesses going to recover? When is that going to happen? That kind of thing. Paint me a picture of what you see when you talk about the innovation that's happening, the business models that are changing, the better normal. I mean, what does North Dakota look like when COVID's a distant memory?
Well, I think one of the things that we, you know, talked about last week at our, Innovation Education Summit, just the summit itself. I mean, we've had this conference. We spent a lot of money on it. We would get private donors to help pay for the thing. We would, you know, have 450 people show up. We'd hold it at a high school around our state to save money. This is something we've been doing every year since we took office. And this year, of course, we can't have a conference. Well, let's have a conference in a, mixed hybrid fashion. So we have a small, call it a studio audience, the Heritage Center, maybe 50 people spread out. some great legislators that were there in person. We had you know, school board members, we had teachers, we've got principals, we got legislators, we got everybody there. Superintendent Basler, we're all there. We're broadcasting. Normal audience, 450. We had 1,200 people online this year tuning in for this, and we had national speakers like Saul Kahn and Scott McNeely and Dean Kamen. I mean, people that we could probably never have gotten to come to a conference in North Dakota because they got to fly, you got to pay them, you got to do whatever. They're all, you know, live doing interviews with us for 45 minutes to an hour as part of the conference. So we have to think about, so that was the crisis forced us into a new approach, a new business model, a new way to think about it. And now we've got all that content. We've got those videos we can share. So thousands of more people from around the state can see that. And what I heard, you know, is very inspirational because, again, we have an opportunity when we're stuck thinking about educating and it's all about the building. When we're thinking about the building, then we're thinking about putting kids in a classroom with a, you know, instructor in the front and moving them all together as a group. And now we have an opportunity. We know that individualized, competency-based training, where every learner learns at their own rate, at their own pace, is better. It's more effective. It changes people's lives for the better. So we have a chance to do that now. And it's going to, again, this, the COVID is going to force us how to rethink everything, including K-12 and higher education. And I think that's very exciting and very positive.
And also a little bit of a lift in an otherwise challenging time, right? I mean, to think a little bit of what's different, what is that better normal going to look like? And, you know, I like the energy that brings,
the better normal. When the better normal, and part of it is when we're having these debates, Scott, and you're such an optimist, you understand this. You know who's looking at us? The kids are looking at us. The students in North Dakota are looking at us as adults. I mean, everybody is adults and saying, how do they handle this crisis? Are they going to persevere? Are they going to innovate? Are they going to, you know, work their way through? Because that's what we're trying to teach our kids to do. Anybody who's a parent has tried to teach your kids how to overcome obstacles and problems and move through life, because we know life, you know, deals with those sometime. And so it's really imperative that at the school district level and at the state level, that, you know, we demonstrate to our kids that we can face something like this and come through it with a better normal than what we had before, because that's what our country does. That's what North Dakotans have. Every time we've been faced with a crisis, whether it's a small town that, you know, been hit by a tornado, or whether it's the floods or whatever, North Dakotans always come out stronger, and we've got to do that again here.
Vinny in Grand Forks, question for Governor Doug Burgum at 258-0550 or 800-228-0550. Go ahead, Vinny.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Scott.
Yes, sir.
I've got a question, and I may just be ignorant on it, and I was I know that we've got all this rainy day fund and from the Bakken area and all of our oil here in North Dakota, and I was sitting on that for emergencies, and I'm wondering if we're tapping into that at all to help some of these businesses and people who are having so much trouble during this crisis. And if we have, I haven't heard much about it. And if we haven't, why haven't we?
Well, Vinny, thanks for the question. We have been fortunate that, you know, through this crisis, each state was given $1.25 billion for coronavirus relief funds. And this comes on top of the money the federal government has given to hospitals and K-12 and the direct payments to each individuals. And we've taken that money. We've been working with the legislature to allocate it. One area that we really have helped support businesses is through the Unemployment Insurance Fund. Scott, there was a Pew Research study that just came out. North Dakota is one of only 8 states, I think, that has taken the those dollars and put into the Unemployment Insurance Fund. And of course, people know, any employer knows, if you've had payroll, that you pay a premium for every into that insurance fund as a business owner. It hasn't traditionally been funded by the state. It's funded by taxes, if you will, pay, you know, insurance premiums that businesses pay, and those rates would have gone through the roof with all of people on unemployment this year. And so the state put $310 million into that unemployment insurance fund. And that is a direct, you know, tax savings for all the businesses. Anybody who employs people, their rates are not going up. And then, of course, I think, Vinny, if you go to ndresponse.gov and take a look there under businesses and employment, we got a number of programs, including the new program that's just out, the ERG, the Economic Resilience Grants. This is any business can get apply for grants up to $50,000 to help them modify their business to better, you know, engender customer confidence to help get...
Hold that thought, if you would. Governor Vinny, thanks for the call.
Everybody knows two minds are better than one. Precision Concrete Cutters and Ram Jack North have joined forces to provide you with top-notch foundation repair solutions. To find out how, go to ramjacknorth.com. That's ramjacknorth.com.
It's a brand new week of great lunch specials, home cooking, grab-and-go convenience at PetroServe USA. Beef tips and gravy if you're cruising I-94, get to exit 292. That's the Valley City PetroServe USA. They also have scalloped potatoes and ham. So if you didn't get some of Mom's home cooking this weekend, there you go. It's right there. Scalloped potatoes and ham, Valley City PetroServe USA. Tater Tot Hot Dish, I-29. Fargo 12th Avenue North exit or the Hartwood exit, either PetroServe location, Tater Tot Hot Dish. And get a load of this. I know this is going to send Kevin over to West Main Avenue, West Fargo. Vegetable beef hot dish.
Anytime.
Yeah.
Always.
And all the lunch specials come with two sides and a bun. Todd, you don't have far to go for the 4 for $4 special in Bismarck or Mandan there. Or the great chicken over Mandan. That chicken is unbelievable.
I took some Thursday from the Glendon stop in Minnesota on the way home. That roasted chicken is fantastic.
It is. We don't talk about it enough. It's so darn good. Yeah. And at all the locations, including Valley Dairy Stores, Grand Forks part of the family as well, Northern Valley. 4 for $4, pizza, 2 cookies, 20-ounce drink, 4 items, $4, yours all day, every day. PetroServe USA. Back with Governor Doug Burgum today on What's on Your Mind. You were talking about this economic resiliency grant. We're going to talk to Michelle Comer this week about this in detail. But the idea here really is to do some things that you wouldn't currently have that are going to make people feel more comfortable coming back. What would be your best example of something somebody could do?
Well, Scott, I think, one thing we know is we got beautiful weather in North Dakota in the summertime and in the fall. And we also know that people have got more confidence about eating, you know, eating outside versus inside, because that certainly is one of the things that is indicating reducing the spread being a closed space or open space. And so I think this is the opportunity to take these grants and build some build or expand great outdoor seating areas, accommodate people for, you know, to doing that, including, you know, buy the heat lamps that you see in other states where, maybe people can be sitting outside in September, October. And kind of drive customer confidence that way. Maybe it's putting in a new, pickup or takeout window. And because a lot of businesses, restaurants have really built strong takeout businesses. And then, touchless stuff. I mean, if you said, hey, I can't afford to have touchless sinks or faucets or toilets, payment systems, anything you want to move for touchless. So there's a lot of ways that someone could modernize their business and improve their customer service and keep their team members and employees safer and get more customers coming back.
And, you mentioned earlier, obviously, that things are changing, but the better normal may be you don't need to have a conference with people coming from all over and attending and doing it online. Certainly there'll be more of that because you found out you can, right? And people are used to Zoom and some of these other platforms. However, anybody that has a hotel or anybody that has a restaurant that survives on, the McQuaid softball tournament or, the fairs or whatever, that doesn't bode well for them either. What do you do for that industry? I mean, hotels have been whacked. Something terrible here. Obviously, restaurants and bars as well. But what's the new normal or the better normal for them? Do you think?
Well, I think some of this is going to be it is going to be a longer, tougher road for some of this, because I think we're seeing, like, in the airline industry, there's going to be less travel. A lot of airline industry, particularly Monday through Friday, was driven by corporate, personal travel on the weekend. But you've got, large companies that are really adopting and saying, hey, we probably need, when we come out of this, we're going to have less travel than we had before because we can accomplish stuff without the travel, less need for commercial real estate because people can work from home. And I think some of those changes are going to have lasting disruptive effects on the economy. But the great thing about a market economy, if there's a bunch of commercial space that's you know, that's available for the cheap because you don't need as much office space. I'm sure somebody in this country is going to figure out, hey, that's a bargain, and I'm going to come up with a new business plan and new approach and you know, convert that commercial office space into something else. And you know, there'll be, you know, new entrepreneurs with new ideas coming off the backside. That's the beautiful thing about you know, even without COVID, I mean, the beautiful thing about a pre-market economy is disruption helps move things forward, and that's one of the reasons why America is going to do better in this than other countries over the long run.
There has been unbelievable low unemployment here, and you certainly are to be congratulated on that. I also, you know, applaud the fact that very early on you said, you know what, when this extra unemployment $600 a week thing ends, that's enough of that because we want to pay people more to go to work. Now they're battling that out in Congress, but obviously we know what the future in North Dakota looks like. What about the business owners who can't get moving again with the inability to hire people or bring people back? What do we do about that?
Well, I'm hoping that in the legislation, the federal legislation that's happening right now, is that they're either going to step it down or let this expire. You know, the paying people to not work because you know, our economy, you know, we can't afford it as a nation to pay people to not work, and people shouldn't be paid more to not work than they would to work, and so that's just a, you know, pragmatic, simple thing, and that's set to expire on July 31st. And I've said all along, I said we'll probably really find out what the unemployment rate is after this, but I know there's some talk about extending that, but I know that there are, you know, again, this economic emergency and pandemic has been politicized, and there may be some that want to, you know, pay people to not work because they think that you know, high unemployment numbers might help their side in an election. But you know, I'm focused on you know, I think we should be focused on how do we get the country back on its feet. But there's a lot of disruption this year because of the presidential politics.
Boy, no kidding. Northrop Grumman said recently, quoted in an article, that they love Grand Sky and they're here to stay. That's certainly good news, and that's a story we haven't talked about a lot with you, obviously, with everything going on, but that continues to be a great, I guess, pillar to build on for North Dakota's future with the FAA test site and names like Northrop Grumman, General Atomics, Harris, and others in the state, right?
Well, it's fantastic, and I want to, again, thank Lieutenant Governor Brent Sanford. You know, his part of his portfolio and his role works directly with that and the team that's up there at the test site and the great work that they've done. I mean, we have a long history going back, you know, close to 15 years now, even more with aviation history, aviation background, University of North Dakota. I mean, this is for higher education and the private sector and the government working together to create a whole new industry, if you will. And the thing about the whole UAS industry and all these great aerospace companies coming here is this great diversification for our economy, and all the advancements that they're making helps both energy and agriculture. So it's a triple win in my book, everything that's going on with that. And of course, now there's, you know, there's collaboration going on between UND and NDSU and test sites around agriculture. And so super, super exciting and great that's all going forward, even with during this pandemic.
Last quick question here, related to the Dakota Access Pipeline. The judge now has the, you know, input from everybody, and I guess three judges, rather, will be voting on this soon, making a ruling. Where are we going to go if this pipeline ends up shut down until the EIS happens?
Well, it's that the I don't want to say it's unthinkable because we have to think about it, but it is unthinkable on a number of levels because you're taking you're basically putting a product back into on rail and truck that is you know, just from a public safety standpoint, the public good. We've had this pipeline operating now for what, almost 3 years flawlessly, and before we had pipeline infrastructure, we had the road deaths up in the Bakken. Accidents where, you know, oil trucks hitting each other.
How'd you sleep last night? How'd you sleep this weekend? Out at the cabin, the cottage. Does anybody have those anymore? Cabins or cottages, or are they?
They're all getting renoed.
Lake homes.
Yeah.
I have
upgraded
tiniest cabin ever, and I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. It's a true cottage. Those are the fun ones for sure. Anyway, if you didn't sleep so well at the cottage this weekend, might you think about ordering up a MyPillow mattress topper right now? For one, this thing comes out of the box. It's on your bed. Seconds later, it's got the nice straps on it. It is unbelievable. It has the layer around it that has that technology. It keeps things, you know, not too hot, not too cold. Keeps you just exactly perfect when you're sleeping. It's just is wonderful. Right now, use the promo code Scott. Get 30% off the MyPillow mattress topper. And they'll throw in two standard MyPillows. No kidding. Call 800-506-9028 or go to MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. MyPillow.com, promo code Scott. All right. We continued with Governor Burgum after the break related to the Dakota Access Pipeline situation and what we do. Listen to this, and then we'll get to your calls.
I was going to say, we had head-on collisions that killed drivers and spilled more product than the pipeline ever has, and there was no outrage around that. And so I think, again, we have to be pragmatic, and I think the judge's ruling is not really just about the pipeline. It's really about all infrastructure in America, which is, if you're going to take something that's been operating safely and then shut it down retroactively, I think that that's just going to have such a chilling effect on the ability for anyone to raise capital, build a bridge, build a bypass, build a road, build a water treatment plant. I mean, you name it. Whatever it is you're doing, after you got it up and running, you may be able to get shut down. I think that's just bad. I think it's wrong for the country, and I think it's going to set us. We have a lot of aging infrastructure in our country. Everybody talks about it on a bipartisan basis about why we've got to raise capital, whether it's federal funds or private money, to replace this infrastructure. And this kind of ruling would take us exactly in the wrong direction. At a time when we need to be replacing infrastructure. Here we've got some of the best, newest, safest infrastructure. We're shutting that down. We should be focusing on the stuff that's ready to fall apart, that's 60, 70 years old, not the new stuff that's working great.
Is there a lawsuit in our future here regarding this? I mean, if at some point you don't draw a line on this rule of law that you're talking about, like you say, who would ever invest knowing that, you don't have the permit, you have the permit, you don't have the permit, you have the permit. Who would ever invest? I mean, it's going to stunt the growth, which I guess is what they're seeking. So what's our remedy?
Well, I think this is one of these things where it just keeps working its way up through the courts. And if it's not settled here, then eventually maybe it gets to the Supreme Court. And if it gets to the Supreme Court, then again, one of the more reasons why it's important to this fall's election is important, because there may be more appointments coming up soon on the Supreme Court. So, I mean, I think we've got to be in a position where the law can prevail and not have judges making decisions about which pieces of infrastructure are work or not.
No kidding. Thanks, Governor. Appreciate it very much. Have a good week.
You too. Thank you, Scott.
Governor Doug Burgum with us on the program 24 till the top of the hour. That was an enjoyable interview in that it's, there's a lot of forward-looking future innovation. It's exactly what where my head is at. I just too often the media loves COVID. The media being, the people that just, are the sort of pack mentality. Grab the tablet. Let's go ask the COVID questions. Look at the daily email. Okay, hospitalizations up, this down. It's boring. It's boring, and it's the same old stuff. It doesn't serve the public. So it's fun to talk about some things outside of that a little bit as well. Let's see here. Who's next? Dana, Judd, then Arthur and Kildare, then Jeff and Minot. And then you at 800-228-0550 or text me 701-367-2054. Dana, what's on your mind?
Am I up?
You're up and at 'em.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I wanted to ask Governor Burgum, I got a couple things. First of all, on the unemployment, everybody's complaining because they think they're getting paid too much, because in a lot of cases they are making more than they get at their job. But that's only because they get paid so little. And it'll only hurt if they cut that, because you're taking away what you need to drive the industry. You know, they're backing with their money. And then on
Wait a minute. Say that last part again. They're backing. It'll only hurt because how does it hurt to take it away?
Because the industry depends on the people to have enough money to finance it, you know, through purchases or paying taxes or buying things. And every time you cut what the people are getting, you're hurting what you can get back from them.
What you're talking about is the money they earn and then what they turn around and put back into the economy, buying a lawnmower, buying gasoline, staying at a hotel, whatever, right? I don't doubt that some of that extra money they got was spent, but you and I are the taxpayers are paying for somebody to get a kicker on their unemployment insurance that puts them above where they were at as a salary.
I understand that, too. I mean, they could maybe readjust it, but...
Well, they're talking about doing a thing now where it'll be 70%. Unemployment is not supposed to pay you what you were getting paid. Unemployment insurance, which you pay into and the employer pays into, is a safety net to say, here, go look for another job. You know, so it's been twisted into something completely different than that. That's ending now, I understand, or has ended, I think, officially at the end of the month, but... The last checks have gone out for that. Now they're debating whether to continue it again. The governor said some time ago it'll end in North Dakota July 31st, which I think is the right thing to do. Now, not everybody, you know, is in a situation where they're making more. For instance, I've heard from people on this program who called and said, okay, I can't go back to work. I work for, you know, such and such industry. They're shut down. And I have to pay my own health insurance now. So by paying my health insurance... With that $600 extra kicker and the other, then I come out even. Well, I get that. That's somebody you say is using it, but the vast majority are not using it responsibly.
And the other thing I had was I wanted to ask him where he stood on a state finance packing plant, you know, that involves the people and what I talked to you before about. And then that way, if they build a museum for Teddy Roosevelt, and he was a big backer of the Sherman antitrust laws, they'd actually do something that he'd look down and be pretty darn proud of.
We've done that before, to a certain degree.
Not
right?
In the situation now where we have, at the times you tried to do it before, we didn't have China and Brazil controlling our food supply. And to me, this is just the way I feel. What kind of leaders would put their people's food supply in the hands of countries that you can't trust?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't know why those companies were allowed to buy those plants.
I don't either.
I think it's totally bizarre.
Well,
totally bizarre.
Happened from like 2007 to 2016. We never heard one word about it from either side of the aisle.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, this is all done, and all we were hearing about how it was the people's fault that the economy was failing because they couldn't make their house payments, and it was all just skirted over like. No big deal.
Yeah, I know that Senator Kevin Cramer told a story on the air about having a conversation with the president about that and making him aware that the plant in Sioux Falls, I believe, was the one at the time, Smithfield, was Chinese owned. And the president was like, wait, what?
And if the
Chinese own that? He's like, yeah, they own that. You know, so... I appreciate your call, Dana. Thanks a ton. Arthur and Kildare, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I have an Ilhan Omar update, if you got a second.
Oh, I can hardly wait. Go make my day with the latest on Ilhan Omar, NDSU grad, who is... If she was a UND grad, Todd, I don't think I would mention the fact that she's a UND grad as much as I do that she's an NDSU grad.
You're playing
just
Homer
kind of a,
again. Okay.
I'm just doing a little Homer thing there on you. Yeah. But anyway, go ahead, Arthur.
Yeah, she's a wonderful lady. She took in $1 million of campaign money and gave it to her campaign consultant who she then married. So that's a nice program for her.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's going to be real tough to unseat her in the general election, where she's probably going to face Lacey Johnson. He's a conservative down there.
Isn't he a Democrat?
Best.
Is he a Democrat? He's a Republican.
I think Lacey Johnson's conservative, yeah.
Yeah, he's a Republican.
Yeah, but
she's got a Democratic challenger in Antoine, too.
Yeah, I thought so. That was giving her somewhat, yeah. But no, I mean, I've been to her office before. We were down at a Twins game one time and took a little walk, and all of a sudden it's there, and I'm like, look at this. It was like next to a bar, by the way. Some office that tells you how to vote or something, I forget which, but it was, I'd say the heart of downtown Minneapolis, not likely to dislike Ilhan Omar, I don't think.
Right. Many people think that the best strategy is to take her out in the primary, where her strongest opponent is Democrat Antoine Mukes.
All right, this is the guy I was thinking of.
He has outraised Omar by about $1 million with the help of a lot of Jewish people. And here's the update. The mail-in ballots have arrived in District 5 for the primary. I think that's going to be held on August 11th. And so you can vote either Republican or Democrat, select your candidate from one of those two categories. And so I would urge people to vote for Antone down there. A prominent Democratic pollster said that Antone is actually within striking distance. I don't know.
I've heard that, too. That's fabulous. And the primary is coming up on, what is it again, the 8th or 11th? Or what is?
11th, I believe.
11th of August, yeah.
So here's what I did. I called some friends in District 5 down there, and I urged them to, number one, vote for Antone and to donate. What I did was I donated money to Antone for Congress is the website. And so if your listening audience has friends down in Minneapolis, tell them to get active on District 5. And I have a friend down there that lives in a high-rise, and she helps her mother there. And I told her, go get a bunch of door hangers and hang one on all 110 units down there in Minneapolis. So
that's a good idea. Well, you're a patriot. You're a patriot to engage in that level of, you know, activism for really a vile, vile woman. She's just in so many levels wrong. So hope you're successful, and I join you in the fight. Thanks, Arthur. So 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, we have the Oasis Petroleum Hotline. It's the Be the Buffalo Hotline because it's all about celebrating North Dakotans who have that Be the Buffalo spirit. We have that. We just persevere. Just plow through. Do you know the buffalo turns to the storm? Storm rolling in, buffalo turns to the storm, goes into the storm. That's what the good folks from Oasis Petroleum do, and they see that in North Dakotans. So they love celebrating you. Call the hotline, 855-200-1776. And if there's somebody with that Be the Buffalo spirit in your community, law enforcement officer, sheriff, highway patrolman, local police, first responder, firefighters, just anybody that just takes it on. Let us know about it. Oasis Petroleum, the Be the Buffalo Hotline, 855-200-1776. Tom in Bismarck, you're next on What's on Your Mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the tribe's argument that Energy Transfer Partners doesn't have a comprehensive emergency response plan in place. And that's blatantly not true. I can tell you that Energy Transfer has response plan includes all situations, to include after ice over. And then to add, they also have voluminous amounts of response assets, such as boom stage, very close by. And then in the paper in the Tribune this morning that they redacted their emergency response plan that they gave to the tribe. Well, of course they're going to redact those portions because they don't want potential aggressors to know their vulnerable locations along the pipeline.
Bismarck Tribune has been so pathetic on any semblance of level-headed reporting related to the Dakota Access Pipeline back when the protests were happening, before and since. It's ridiculous. You know, this whole idea of the pipeline being rerouted, do you remember that nonsense, Tom?
Yeah.
That came from an Amy Dalrymple story. That was a story. Now, I like Amy Dalrymple. She's a fine reporter, but she wrote something, I don't know, maybe inartfully, and it wasn't a quote from anyone. It was, somebody had thrown out the accusation. She was trying to dig into it, and she made it sound like it was one of the options. Well, you could say through Fargo was one of the options, too, right? I mean, it was never a reasonable option. It didn't meet any of the main criteria. By the way, pipelines generally don't veer towards population sources. They go away. That had nothing to do with Standing Rock. Didn't matter if it was there or not. And they've used that over and over and over again to say, oh, yeah, stick it to Standing Rock. Don't put it up there. That didn't happen. 100% fantasy. And what you're talking about is just another example of how, you know, lawyers, they get paid zillions of dollars. So you got Earth Justice writing big checks. Okay, Earth Justice is a eco-terrorist group. They are the keep-it-in-the-ground crowd. They want you to pay $2,000 for every plane ticket, if you can actually get one off the ground, and, $5 a gallon of gas, because they don't want pipelines, and they don't want oil and gas. That's their MO. So what do? Let's go to court. Let's go to court. We'll write big checks. We'll front money for groups like Standing Rock Sioux Tribe, then they can sue, and then they hire people like Tim Purdon, ambulance chasers that run around and say, well, let's see, I got all this money, I got to invent some arguments here. Why don't I invent the argument that there wasn't a very good plan here because they redacted something? Totally made up out of whole cloth. Not true. Disproved at the hearing down in Linton from the Public Service Commission. And now an oldie but a goodie dusted off for some gullible Bismarck Tribune reporter to put in the paper today. It makes me sick, Tom, what they do. It makes me absolute sick. You know how much money they waste doing this? Paying lawyers to invent arguments? Meanwhile, if the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe actually wanted to do something about the opposition and have a role, they would have actually gone to a few meetings. But if you ask Scott Davis or the Public Service Commission members, you'll find out the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe showed up at zero hearings while this original permit was being decided. But they caught up with that after the fact.
They already had it all planned out a year before when Obama visited down there at Cannonball. I truly believe that's when wheels were set in motion to set up this big protest.
Of course it was. And don't forget, Dave Archambault's sister worked for who? Barack Obama. Highest-ranking policy advisor in the Obama administration, Dave Archambault's sister. So you're exactly right. This is all, and just follow the money. Just follow the money into the pockets of people, and you decide for yourself who you think came out ahead on this deal. Just get a little transparency on all of it. Thank you, though, Tom. Thank you for pointing out a fact on that community emergency response plan, because it does exist. There are booms there. There are, you know, when I heard this initially, I'm like, what? What the heck? How could that be? What, you know, that can't be that hard to do, can it? No, we have one. We have one. It's all there.
It's all very close by.
Exactly right. Unbelievable. Tom, thank you for the call. I appreciate it very much. The chief of police in Seattle.
Oh, I know where you're going with this.
Issued a letter to business owners and residents.
You're on your own.
Over the weekend.
City council won't let us protect you.
Pretty much. Mike Ditka said some fun things, and so did my favorite quarterback, Tom Brady. I love this. More after this. Don't go away.